so good to be here. Now, y'all can give me a little grace because we used up some time. So, got to give me a little grace on time today because we got some ground to cover. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Are we doing all right? Amen, amen, amen. But in Matthew 21, starting at the first verse, when it reads, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto thee, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, Behold, the king cometh unto thee meek and sitting upon an ass, and the colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put there on them their clothes, and they set him thereon, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches and from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Behold, he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Now, Jesus entering into Jerusalem, knowing, amen, that in a few days, amen, what would precipitate that entrance. And he had told them, his disciples before this, amen, that he was heading down, amen, and he would go into Jerusalem and he would be arrested and judged and crucified. And that's when, you know, Peter stood up and said, he rebuked the Lord, but the Lord had to set him straight. You don't know which spirit you're of, because the Lord knew what he had to face. Now, most of us, if not all of us, amen, would not enter into a situation knowing that it was going to call for our death. Amen? But that didn't deter Christ, because we've read in the scripture, amen, when he spoke unto Pilate after this, when he was arrested, how he said, "For this cause and for this purpose came I into the world." Now, but as I was preparing this message and reading over that passage of scripture, you know, I couldn't help but think that this passage, amen, and this entrance does not reflect what you would expect of a great entrance into a city of a king. All right. Amen. When I begin to think about it, because we've preached on this message and I've heard so many messages on Palm Sunday. Amen. And we've touched on so many different things from this topic. Amen. We've looked at the crowd. Amen. Explored them, how they thought and what they saw as he was coming into Jerusalem. We looked at, you know, the donkey, how maybe the donkey thought it was all about him. You know, they're putting on all this stuff and he's strutting on the clothes and he's beginning to think it's all about him. I mean, we've looked at, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, how they looked at this whole situation as blasphemous in their eyes, you know, and even the thoughts of Jesus knowing what was coming. Amen. But I want to look at something a little bit different here this morning. All right. In this processional, because like I say, I picture it and it doesn't seem like what you would expect to see when a king is entering into a city, especially the city of David, Jerusalem, coming in and to you know, present himself triumphant. Amen. The picture that would come to our mind, amen, would be, you know, when we see the king coming in, it would be glorious. Amen. It would be to a place, and can you put my image up of the emperor, the Roman emperor, amen, coming into the city? We would see a parade. We would see, you know, the horses, amen, decked out, amen, and the soldiers in their best armor. You know, we'd see the king or the governor or the prefect, whoever's coming in, amen, riding in a chariot or in a carriage, amen, and waving at the crowd as he's entering in, amen, with all the pomp and the circumstance that goes along with royalty and glory and honor of men. And everybody would be lined up, amen, and waving, and it would be a festive occasion. And if you didn't act right, the soldiers might get you, because you better show respect to the Roman ruler. You know, so we might have seen that. But here we're talking about the true King of Kings, the true and the real Lord of Lords. Amen. As he's coming in, amen, on a small coat, you know, the colt of an ass. I mean, he said, bring both of them. But, you know, as we say, he sat thereon, amen. And I can just imagine as Jesus is coming in, he's sitting on this little coat, probably side saddled, amen, and his feet barely clearing the ground. But he's coming in, amen. And I see the crowd, amen, that's gathering. And he's coming in with this ragtag band of disciples, amen, that, you know, didn't have a lot because they traveled to and fro. I mean, you got one tax collector, and you got an ex-physician that's following him in the name of Luke, and we got even one that would soon betray him. We got these fishermen. That was his band. That was his parade coming in. And maybe, yes, we would see, you know, his mother Mary and the other Mary who followed and the women who supported the ministry and others that chose to follow them along the way. But not a lot of pomp and circumstance. But the crowd, as they looked at him coming in, amen, and they had heard it was Jesus, and his fame preceded him in spite of the scribes and the Pharisees. In spite of what they thought, amen, the people were glad to see Jesus coming in. So they begin to throw their clothes, amen. He didn't have a red carpet. So they begin to throw their clothes and their garments, amen, and they would cut down the branches and the palm branches and the willow branches, and they were waving them in the air. This was his parade. And let me see that other image, amen, as Jesus is coming in. Just not that one, the other one. There you go. And he's coming, it's just the people. Just the people. There's no soldiers, and there's no glitter and no flags and signets and, you know, all those things. He's just coming into those that would recognize him, like me and you. Amen. And but yet he came. He came, and he didn't pause and he didn't turn away, but he came because he knew he had a job to do. And his time was coming. How many times we look in the scripture when his mother would say this or that to him, amen, and he said, my time hasn't come yet. My hour is not yet at hand. But he knew the hour was drawing near, amen. And I can imagine just in my mind, amen, the anxiety if he was one of us. But on the other hand, I can begin to think Jesus might have been getting excited. You know, because on one hand, he knows that this is why he came. But on the other hand, the flesh don't want to go through it. Anybody ever been through that? You know you got to do it, but and you know once you do it, it's going to be good, but you just don't want to go through it. But you still got to go for it. And I look at Jesus, and I see him as he's coming, riding on the donkey. You know, and they talk about the donkey was a beast of burden. Amen. You know, you didn't usually ride the donkey. You would ride the horse. Amen. You put your load on the donkey. You put your provisions on the donkey. Amen. But especially if you were royalty. Amen. We didn't want to come in looking any kind of way. And as we look at this image and we look at these things, amen, that are taking place, we begin to ask ourselves, what's going on here? And why would he come in such a way? He could have came in, just think about it. He could have called the heavenly host, the angels in all their glory, to come and flank him on every side. He could have showed them imagery they'd never seen before, to blew their minds with who could have showed up for Jesus. amen, to far exceed anything man could have put on, any display. But no, he came riding on, as the it says in the King James, he came riding on an ass. And with that said, I want to speak to you this morning from the topic, our humble King. Our humbled King. Amen. Because while I look at, you know, this entrance, amen, yeah, he could have came with the pomp and circumstance. He could have came with all those things, but that wasn't his choosing. He came, amen, as we read in the passage, amen, it said he was meek. He cometh meek and lowly of heart. He came, amen, in a way, amen, not promoting himself, but he came. You know, and you know, to be a Christian means to be Christ-like. Literally, it means Christ-like. Amen. In other words, to be like Jesus. How many of us want to be like Jesus? We're still talking about, you know, over this last few weeks and months, we've been talking about being kingdom-minded, right? And to be kingdom-minded, amen, we ought to have a mind that I want to be like Jesus. But he came meek and lowly, amen. He came, amen, in a way that humbled himself. What does humility look like? What does it mean to be humble, amen? What does that really look like? You know, and I looked in the dictionary and the thesaurus, and these are some of the terms that are connected to being meek and lowly. Amen. It means to be patient, long-suffering, forbearing, gentle, quiet, reverent, peaceful, lamb-like, mild, humble, lowly, unassuming, unpretentious, submissive, yielding, unresisting, obedient, compliant, unprotesting, lamb-like, being led to the slaughter. You know, just hearing that list of words might have made some of us a little uncomfortable. When you talk about obedient, submissive, I ain't no lamb. Hello? You know, but we think about that list of words, and then we think about what the prophet Isaiah had to say about Jesus long over 740 years before he showed up. In Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 7 says this, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Think about those words. Amen. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He's carrying it all. It says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Let me say that part again. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Because and that makes me think about when they came to get him in the garden, he opened his mouth and said, I am he. And they all fell back as dead men. The power that he had. But as he's going through these things, he said he didn't even open his mouth. He didn't resist. He didn't complain. And then he said, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. You still want to be like Jesus? kingdom people. We want to be like Jesus. Amen. Sometime we need to know when to shut up. Amen. We need to know how to be obedient when the Spirit of God is telling you, hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battle. But a lot of times we want to stand up. They ain't going to talk about me like they ain't going to walk on me. They ain't going to. Hello? You want to be like Jesus? You want to, as Pastor Linda was saying on last week, we want to be good ambassadors, knowing when to speak and on whose behalf we're speaking, which is not our own, but to represent him like he needs to be represented. We cannot present ourselves. See, there's the big difference. Amen. A lot of times we want to be seen. We want to be recognized. But the scripture tells us we're no more our own. We're bought with a price. Still want to be like Jesus? Huh? You know, even nearly 600 years before this took place, amen, the prophet Zechariah in chapter 9, verse 9, said these things about Jesus. And just because it said these things were done to fulfill the prophecy. This is the prophecy that was being fulfilled. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. Now, he's talking about salvation before 600 years before Christ showed up. Having salvation, look what he says. Lowly, riding upon an ass and upon a colt. The foal of an ass. You know, I believe the Lord knew what he was doing. He had just laid out and planned out long before. But I look at how Jesus came. And I think, you know, that everything that he did was done with a purpose and as an example. And sometimes we miss the purpose and we miss the example. We just read over it, but we need to pause and we need to take a closer examination of what it is he's doing, because he's trying to show us something. He's trying to help us to know how to represent, how to walk this life out, how to live according to his word and his will, how to represent him and not us. You know, that's challenging sometimes, right? He said sometimes. Sometimes, because why? We grown, right? We 3 times 7 plus, right? And we don't like, you know, as adults, grown folk don't like to be told what to do, right? Grown folk, even when it's coming from somebody in legitimate authority, with the responsibility and the right to direct us, we still don't like to be told. Now, if you ask me, just politely ask me, and I'll you know, but just don't be telling me what to do. Am I talking to anybody this morning? You know, if you how we say, come to me right. Don't be disrespecting me. I don't want to be disrespecting. No, but if they got the authority to tell you, why they got to butter it up? Right? So, but he's trying to help us, amen. And when I look at this, amen, today I believe there are too many proud Christians and are not enough humble Christians. Too many proud Christians who want to make themselves known in their Christianity, but they're not humble enough to represent Christ in their Christianity. You know, as we look at verse 5, how it says in the King James, he was meek. But I want to look at it in the NLT and the Amplified. In NLT, it says this: tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming, and he is humble. Woo. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. And the Amplified, it says this: say to the daughter of Zion, inhabitants of Jerusalem, behold, the king is coming to you lowly. lowly. Right? One who had the right and the authority to be glorified and to be lifted high. He's coming lowly, riding on a donkey, amen, in the fold of a, and it says, a beast of burden. I look at that and I say, man, can you imagine the burden that would have been upon his heart at that time? Knowing what he had to go through, knowing what was coming upon him, amen, knowing, amen, that his hour was approaching quickly. You know, we look at time and we say time is moving fast, and it's moving like, whoa. Weeks are going by like, we say days, but it's getting to the point they're going by like hours. We're here. Amen. But I look at this, and so many of us aspire to be like Christ the Anointed One. We are striving to be like Christ the Anointed One, but we still have the struggle, amen, the hurdle, amen, the stumbling block of what? This flesh. This flesh. Woe is me in this flesh. And I believe if we can get to a place where we could really humble this flesh, we'd be a lot better off. Amen. If we could get this joker under control, as Diane liked to say, get that joker, you know, but if we can get this joker under control, amen, I like how Pastor Reed said, you know, I got this flesh thing under control. How many of us really feel like we got it under control? You got to raise your hand. Don't tell on yourself. Amen. But we need to think about it, because this is our biggest enemy. When you stop and think, it's not what people do to us. It's how this flesh responds to them. Amen. And to take it even, bring it even a closer home, it's not how this flesh responds, is how we allow it to respond. Everybody say, humble me, Lord.
Humble me, Lord.
Humble me, Lord. Because we want to be like Jesus, but you can't be like Jesus if you can't be humble. You can't be like Jesus if you can't hold your peace. You can't be like Jesus if the flesh is in control. We can't represent him if we're still busy presenting ourselves. You want to be like Jesus? Amen. Help us, Lord. Amen. And as we strive with this thing, we struggle with things, amen, we understand that he understands the struggle, because Christ came in the flesh. Amen. And the Bible tells us, amen, that he understands the feeling of our infirmity. He understands these struggles that we go through, because, amen, he was in the flesh too. And he operated in his humanity the entire time and not his divinity. So we begin to see that, okay, he was a good example for you and for me. Amen. So he showed us that it could be done.
Hello, somebody.
And we see different representatives in Scripture, Stephen and Job, and who were able to maintain, amen, authority over their feelings. Amen. Sometimes we get so wrapped up, tangled up, tied up in our feelings. Feelings become greater than our spirit. But we got to humble our feelings.
Oh, y'all quiet now.
Y'all quiet now. What do you mean I got to humble my feelings? Your feelings will mess you up.
Amen. Amen.
Am I the only one in here who's ever allowed my feelings to take control and later on regretted it? So I sound like I'm in good company.
Amen.
But I think I got a better hold on this thing now. Amen. It comes from practicing his word, amen, and operating in the way that he wants to operate, so that we can be more and more the ambassadors and the representatives that he's called us to be.
Amen.
We want to be like Jesus, amen, and we want to be able to convince ourselves that I'm being like Jesus, but at the same time, amen, too many of us find ourselves in a place that we're prideful, self-willed, rebellious, disobedient, amen, and oftentimes just plain stubborn. Come on, huh? We want things to go our way, amen, and we want it on our time, without delay, huh? Am I talking to anybody this morning? Now, I'm tired of waiting. Amen. We don't got patience. We don't got no self-control. Amen. And we don't want to be told what to do. And all those are works of the flesh. Not the spirit. Amen. It's your flesh talking. It's your flesh walking. It's your flesh ruling. Amen. And as long as that's the case, we can't come in meek and lowly. We can't come in humble. Amen. Because me is still on the throne. Me is still in control. Me want it my way. It's I, me, you know, we don't even got no room for we. Because it's all about me. But we got to surrender me to him. Amen. We got to get this thing to a place, amen, that, and the only way I'm going to represent Jesus is if I'm willing to put in the work, amen, to feel bad about doing it the wrong way. Amen. Amen. To get to a place and realize, Lord, forgive me. I failed again today. Huh? That's the word. Lord, forgive me. I messed up again. And you know what? After a while, you're going to get tired of being sorry. After a while, you're going to get tired of having to confess. But I encourage you to confess. I encourage you every day to say, forgive me, God. Because he will. But like I said, after a while, you're going to get tired of that repetition, amen, and you're going to start making different moves and different choices and different decisions, amen, because you're tired of falling short when you know better. I know better. We know better. And we can do better. Tell somebody we can do better. If we just humble ourselves. First place we need to humble ourselves is unto him. That's right. Because you can't, let me say it like this, you cannot humble yourself to man if you're not willing to humble yourself to God. Right. I had a young lady come in my office one day. She was upset. She was irate. And I was trying to give her some instruction. I don't care what you say. I was like, okay. And she just kept right on going. And she said, I don't care what the words. I said, this conversation's over. I said, because if you don't care what he said, you sure enough not going to care what I say. So I'm not going to waste my breath. When you start respecting him, then we might have a conversation. Because I don't expect you to respect me if you don't respect him. What am I saying? We must respect the word of God first. We must respect him above all other things, and then other things will begin to come in alignment. We'll begin to honor him, amen, because we respect him. And if we respect him, then I'll know and learn how to respect people, no matter who they are. I'll know how to be humble in every situation because I've humbled myself when I entered in before the king. That's what he's looking for, amen. If we want to be like Jesus, we got to humble ourselves. You know, I think about how he said so many different things to us in his word. But in Philippians 2, starting at verse number 5, it says this, let this mind be in you. Now, we already saw the mind of Christ. He's humble. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Now, how would we feel if we couldn't handle it and we couldn't protect our rep? We all want to have a good reputation, right? But it said he made himself of no reputation. And it said he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself. And being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, he humbled himself. Wherefore God, now look what he said, because he humbled himself, because he walked in obedience, he said, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, which is above every name, which is above every name, because he humbled himself and was obedient. Hallelujah. That at that name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Everything gonna bow down because he humbled himself. You want your problems to bow down? Humble yourself. You want your feelings to get in control? Humble yourself. You want to have peace as you go to and fro? Humble yourself. Most of our struggle is because we're trying to promote ourselves. But he said, you know, if we would humble ourselves in the sight of God, he would exalt us. He will lift us up. But you doing it, that's all your effort. And it can get wearisome, tiresome, frustrating, aggravating, all those words. But if you would just humble yourself, in your home, on your job, in the community, just humble yourself. God will exalt you. And when God exalts you, can't no man pull you down, but you exalt yourself. And watch how fast the tree falls. God wants us to walk in humility. In Matthew 28:16, it says this, the 11 disciples, amen, went away into Galilee, into a mountain which Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. We're not powerless. But we got to learn how to tap into the power. And if he's with us and we call on his name, when we feel this flesh rising, we have the power to humble this flesh. Amen. With the power, amen, that power that works in us. Amen. In order to empower us to do what we need to do, empower us to shut up. Some of y'all are laughing because you know, amen, that takes some power. That takes some self-control. I didn't say it. I just wrote it. I just posted it. No, knock it off. Huh? If it ain't for the glory of God, it's for the glory of you. Which one are you representing or presenting? Help us. John 10:17-18 says this, therefore doth the Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. He said, no man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. Can I go there for a minute? He said, I have the power to lay it down. And I have the power to take it again. Yes. This commandment I received of the Father. Now what's he's saying? He has the power. And remember, all power is given to him. Yes. And he's with us. How many has got the Holy Spirit? He's with us. Yes. So we got the power to lay this thing down. Yes. What am I saying? We got the power to take authority over this flesh. You know, for the long season, going to see different seasons in my life. Hey, man, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. And there's times I had to repeatedly tell my flesh to shut up. Amen. Come on, y'all. That's just me. That's how I do. Shut up. Huh? You got to talk to this thing sometime because it's sure enough talking to you. Amen. It's sure enough telling you what it want. Amen. Amen. It's telling you how it want to act. Amen. You got to get to that place. You just need to shut up. That's right. We ain't going there. That's right. Then the next thing I say, if it keep on, we're going to fast for a couple of days. And what? Huh? Because while you fast tonight, it's getting humbled. You know, and Psalmist said, I afflicted my soul through fasting. Huh? See, because the spirit man don't need your food. It needs the word of God. That's why Jesus told him, I have bread that you know not of. Feed yourself the word while you humble this flesh through some fast. I don't like the fast. No, your spirit man ain't got no problem with fasting. It's your flesh that don't like the fast.
Oh, see, let me stop talking about y'all. Talking about y'all food. Y'all won't walk out on me. Amen. But
you got the power. I'm trying to tell us we have the power to walk in humility, but oftentimes we don't even think about using it. Because we've gotten so used to this flesh, amen, this meat suit being in control of everything we do and say.
We got to get to that place, say, no, not anymore. Amen. And we got to say, no, I'm not yielding to that stuff. But I'm going to walk in the will and the word of God. Amen. Oh, help us, Lord. Amen.
Hebrews 5, 7 and 9. He said, in those days, in the days of his flesh.
Now listen, they're talking about Jesus.
In the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayer and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, that it was able to save him from death. Talking about when he was in the garden. And he cried and said, it's tears of blood, because that flesh didn't want to get on the cross. That flesh didn't want to go through the suffering. But in his spirit, man, he said, but not my will. Thy will be done. Amen. And he said, and was heard in that he feared that he was a son, yet learned he obedience. Now, wait a minute. You say Jesus learned obedience? Let that sink in for a minute. Jesus learned obedience. What is it? By the things which he suffered. Now, I'm talking about now, when I say Jesus, I'm talking about the flesh man. Learn to be obedient to the spirit man. Not because it wanted to, but because he had caused and allowed it to suffer. And through that suffering, that flesh man learned to be obedient to the will, and that's why he crawled upon that cross. Amen. We got to get there, amen, and understand. He said, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Because he had to bring his flesh under obedience. He had to bring his flesh into subjection, amen, so that he could fulfill God's will for that body as a sacrifice for you and me. I told you, in his humanity, he had to go through some things. It's just like we're going through some things, but we cannot continue to let the flesh have free reign if you want to really be kingdom people, if we really want to be, amen, representing Christ, amen, and to humble ourselves, to walk in the humility that God intends for us to walk into. Someone say, well, that was Jesus. It was easy for him. You know, as I was working on this, the Holy Spirit dropped this in my mind. He said, humility is your superpower. You know, if we would understand how to be honorable and humble, the doors that would open. You know, we tell our young people, be respectful when you go here. Say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. You don't hardly hear them words anymore. People walk with a sense of entitlement and an expectation, and I ain't got to bow down to nobody. I'm grown too. Respect has left the building. Humbleness has left the room. But I'm calling it back. Amen. The Holy Spirit is calling it back. He wants us to grab hold of it, understand, amen, in every situation. If you would just hold your peace. Oh, my God. Look what he said. He's super. Look what he said in Matthew 11, 29. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, learn of me. And the first thing he tells him, he says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. When he says, learn of me, he didn't say, you know, I can heal the sick. I can raise the dead. You know, I can call down legions. No, the first thing he said, I'm meek and lowly of heart. Let's start learning right there. This is your first lesson. He said, and you shall find rest for your soul. You know, when you humble yourself, you ain't got to be striving and struggling with stuff. Right? When you yield, and you, oh, whatever. You know, and you just, God, I'm putting in your hands. The striving is over. The struggling is over. But when you're trying to promote yourself, oh, your mind goes a whole opposite direction. In Matthew 5:5, he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Not the proud, not the boastful, not the great. He said, but the meek. Ephesians 4:2. With all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love. He's telling us how to live. With all lowliness and meekness. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, which we are. He said, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. See, we can't get away from this humility and this meekness. We can't get away from it. And 1 Peter 3:4, he says this, but let it be, and I love this one. He said, let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Just like you put on that necklace, them earrings, that ring. An ornament. Put it on, amen. The hidden man of the heart. They don't need to see it in your heart. They need to see it coming out. Amen. They don't need to know you where you bought your jewelry. They just need to see it reflecting on you, making you look good. Let your meekness and your humility make God look good. Yeah. Amen. When we grab hold of this, amen. And when he said, and this last part, I got to give you this last part of that verse. Amen. Which is in the sight of God of great price. Your humility, your meekness is valuable to God. It's valuable to him. He said, you know, I can see him saying, that's my daughter. I'm pleased with her. Look at that girl shine. Look at him walking in humility. My goodness, that's my boy right there, huh? Let's see, that's when he sees us walking it out and operating like he wants us, not operating according to our flesh, but according to his word. I'm trying to wrap it up, y'all. But 1 Corinthians, amen, 1:25-29, it says, because of the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God stronger than man. For we see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh. Notice he said, not many wise after the flesh. See, we got to be wise after the spirit. Huh? After the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. See, we don't like to be called weak. But that's who God is looking for. I said, that's who God is looking for. We don't want to be noble. We want to be wise. We want to be prideful. Even though we, you know, the problem with prideful people is they're too proud to admit it. I'm going to leave y'all alone. You know, but we got to humble ourselves, amen, and recognize, he said, and the base things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. We got to give up the glory in y'all. Help us, my God. We got to give it up. I can't get no glory for what I've accomplished. No, give God the glory. Yeah. See, if it had not been for the Lord, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, amen, my soul would have dwelt in silence. I'd have been destroyed if it had not been for him. So we get to that place and we learn to humble ourselves. And then when we humble ourselves, we begin to see God moving on our behalf and things begin to change and things begin to open up. Amen. And doors are open. Amen. And we wonder, you know, wow, I couldn't have done this on my own. You're right. But by obeying God, amen, and following his word and following his will, look what he's doing. He's making you shine because you making him shine. If we want to rise, we got to bow down. Amen. If we want it to matter, let me say it like that. You know, I think about, you know, Moses. And he dropped this one on me as I was working on it. And I begin to think about Moses. And Moses spent 40 years in Pharaoh's palace. If anybody got used to a silver spoon, it was Moses. Servants, tutors, everything he needed. Didn't have to work a day in his life for 40 years until he realized who he was. So he stepped up in his own power to try to correct things and end up killing a man. And then he's exiled himself for another 40 years. But in that 40 years on the backside of the desert, God dealt with Moses. And I begin to look at, well, why did God choose Moses? A murderer, amen, who ran and hid, a coward, didn't want to face what he did, but God dealt with Moses. And when Moses saw that burning bush, amen, and the Lord told him what he needed to do, what did Moses say? No, I'm not worthy. Yeah, he had his struggles, but he was obedient, and he went, and the Lord used him, amen, to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. But the thing that the Lord brought to my mind, amen, was in the 12th chapter, verses 1, 2, and 3. And in fact, I encourage, I don't have the time, but just I want to read these three verses, then I'm going to paraphrase because I don't have the time to give you the whole chapter. It's a short chapter, but it's a powerful chapter. In the book of Numbers, amen, 12, he said, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian wife he had married an Ethiopian." When they was upset, it was an interracial marriage.
Come on.
Said, "Why, what you doing marrying that black girl? You know that ain't right." And they was upset. Now God sees exactly who Moses is. They saw, and God didn't have no problem with Moses. Amen. But look what he says in the verse 2. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath not God also by us, spoken also by us?" And this is the one that hit like a ton of, "And the Lord heard it." You know, I can see God say, "What you say?" And this is, now Moses, now the man Moses was very meek. Now, we know God used Moses to do some powerful stuff. Part the Red Sea. You know, bring water from the rock. I mean, turn his staff into a snake. And I mean, he used Moses to do some powerful, brought the whole nation out of Egypt. But he said, because the man Moses was very meek. See, God can use somebody. That's meek. And it goes on to say, "Above all the men which are upon the face of the earth," he was the meekest man. And then you wonder why God chose Moses. Because he was the meekest man on the planet. Willing to obey God. Willing to do what God said. And he was in the right lineage. But God had to, he didn't get there on his own. But I believe during that 40 years on the backside of the desert, God humbled Moses. God taught him some things, amen, on the backside. So when he came back, he was the meekest man that walked the earth, amen, because he had some encounters with the Lord. Amen, he had to do some self-examination. Amen. He had to work on himself. Amen. And so I look at this thing, amen, and we got to get to that place, Lord. Help me to be humble. Help me, amen, to get to a place, amen, that no matter what comes against me, I will know when to shut up. I will know how to hold my peace. I will know how to represent you and not present myself. They don't need to see me. Fact is, I don't need to see me. I want to see Jesus. How about you? But he was humble. And the thing about being humble is this. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. See, too often we're thinking about ourselves more than we ought to be. But he said, think not of yourself higher than you ought to think. But he said, he tells us to think soberly and righteously. Think about yourself in the right way. You ain't all that. Even if you got the bag of chips, you ain't all that. What are you without God? What does your accomplishments mean without God? When you lay down your head on the pillow, you got to sleep like everybody else. When you get gas, you got to pass it like everybody. You ain't all that. Hello. Sometimes we think we just float above the ground because we're so good. No. And when that last breath leaves your body, what are you then? Or should I say, where are you then? Because you can't take none of it with you. Amen. So don't let it take you out. I got to stop. Y'all. But I want us to get this. Humble yourself. If we want to be like Jesus, if we want to walk in the ways that God has called us to walk, we can't do it in our own flesh, in our own power, in our own authority. We have to recognize in my home right now, I need to represent Jesus. I know my flesh is upset, and I might have a good reason to be upset. I don't doubt that. But how I respond. Yeah, they got on my nerves, but how I respond. Yeah, they called me out of my name, but how I respond. Yeah, they stole my stuff, but how I respond. Because they don't got a heaven or hell to put you in. So I want to make sure I'm pleasing the one that does. We got to make up in our mind, y'all. Because I look at all the things that Moses did. Y'all need to make sure you read Numbers 12. Because God dealt with them. He dealt with, I mean, I don't have time to go into it. Lord have mercy. But, you know, he had to get them in order and help them understand that God is greater. And if we would humble ourselves, I'm going to read this last verse as you're standing in 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. Let me say that again. Though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward us. The same power that he walked in is saying we can walk in. The same power. And there's power. And you know, oh, goodness, help me, Holy Spirit. There is power in humility. There's power in knowing how to be meek and humble. And the power of God is here upon us to help us to walk it out. To humble ourselves in the sight of God. Don't think you're doing it before, man. God, I'm humbling myself before you right now. Because right now, I know my flesh don't want to do it. My flesh wants to speak out. My flesh wants to act out. My soulish man wants to make itself known, but God, I'm humbling myself. I'm humbling this flesh. I'm humbling my soulish man before you right now. And I need you to order my steps, Lord. I need you to word my mouth. I need you, God, to direct my course, lest I make a mess of it. Lest I do or say something that's not pleasing or right in your sight. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now. Lord, I open this altar to anybody that's struggling with this area of humility. Lord, they want to draw closer to you, God, and walk in your ways. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that I will take your yoke, as your word says, and learn of you that I can be meek and lowly in the spirit. That I would know how to possess this body. And Lord, I would know how to walk it out in a way that pleases you, Father. I'm tired of trying to please this flesh. Even though I don't realize that's what I'm doing, I'm tired, God, of yielding, Lord, to the propensities and the appetites and the desires of this flesh. Help me. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves, to walk in humility. Help us to know how to use that superpower, God, that you've given us by your spirit to overcome this natural man. God, that wherever I go, I can represent you, God. I can be a good kingdom ambassador. I can do it in a way, God, that they see that I've been with you. Because you're changing me, God. It's not me changing me. Lord, you're changing me by your spirit and through your word. So we thank you right now. Lord, I bless these and I pray for these that have come, God. Lord, you know their struggle. You know their individual situations and circumstances. And Lord, I applaud, God, their response to your word, God. For some may be too proud to come to the altar. But I pray in the name of Jesus that you would meet each and every one of us where we are. That you would break the yoke of pride, haughtiness. You would break the yoke, God, of self. And Lord, that we would be able to represent you like you deserve to be represented. In every situation, God, help us to pause before we speak. Pause before we act. Pause before we move. And say, will this glorify my Father in heaven? Will this be a good example, a representation of him? Because I'm no more my own. I'm no more my own, God. I am sold out. I am all in. I've cast my lot. And all my help has got to come from the Lord. I can't trust me no more. I can't depend on me no more. God, it's you. All you, God. I thank you right now, Lord, for your word over our lives. I thank you, Father, for your long suffering and your patience toward us. I thank you, Lord, for carrying our burden long before we knew we even had it. We thank you right now. And I pray in the name of Jesus. That as we leave here another way. We don't leave here like we came in, God. But we leave with more determination, more of a made up mind, Lord, to bring you glory in everything we do and say. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.